If you're just joining us, we're talking about grassroots donations here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So we learned in recent days that Democratic small-dollar donors gave $1 billion through an online fundraising platform. It's called ActBlue, and that was in 2019. So it's one indicator that online giving is adding up. Grassroots donors are responding with donations as small as a dollar. And the more transactions, the more processing fees flow to credit card companies. Do you think about overhead costs associated with donations? How do you feel about candidates who have a lot of small donors to their campaigns? We're at 800-642-1234. Robin Kolodny is a professor and chair of the Political Science Department at Temple University, where she studies campaign finance and American political parties. Robin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Well, since 2008's presidential election, political campaigns have been paying more money in credit card processing fees. And part of that is because there are just simply more small dollar donations. People are donating more frequently online. What's behind this trend of more small dollar donations?
Well, it's interesting you should point out 2008, because that was part of the Obama campaign's successful strategy to ask more people for money. Before the last big campaign finance reform bill in 2003, there was a lot of incentive to get a lot of money from fewer people. So they didn't ask everyone. Well, it turned out that there were a lot more people who did want to go ahead and give to campaigns, but yes, in smaller amounts. And they found that that was just as effective. So in 2008, the Obama campaign succeeded in using social media platforms and the internet broadly, Facebook, things like this, to draw those smaller donors in, and had an enormous amount of success with it.
Social media platforms were largely in their infancy in those days. We've seen evolution there. We've seen certainly such fraught issues with Facebook and advertising. How are campaigns using social media these days and garnering dollars for their war chests?
Well, let me make it clear, especially when it comes to small donors. As you said before, the fees can be high. The cost can be sometimes higher than the donation if it's only a few dollars. So it's not necessarily always for cash that they need the small donors. The more people that you have who would click a button and give you their bank details for even $5 or $10, that person's a voter for you. And that person is probably more than a voter. They're more likely to volunteer for your campaign, and they're probably likely to put on a bumper sticker or a lawn sign or talk to somebody else about the campaign. So in a way, you're getting a lot more than the few dollars, that you're getting an advocate. And that is really the gift of the small donor process, is that while you are also obviously, and for the most part, a lot of people are giving $20, $25, and certainly you're getting some money from that, but you're really getting a team.
So it's like a gateway to many more things. That small donation can give you even a lot of information on what that voter might be thinking about.
Exactly, especially because, as you're saying today, we've matured to the point where we can figure out maybe what the ad was that the person clicked on to get to the site, what the platform is that they're using. Obviously, we're going to have an address if we have a credit card number, so we can find out where the enthusiasts are clustering. There's a lot of different things that we can do with that person. But a campaign would say, mostly, we've just hit somebody new that we want to keep in touch with.
So the smaller a donation, the larger portion of that donation goes to credit card companies and fixed fees rather than to the candidate. So smaller donations mean credit card companies and other middlemen are making money. Given the rise of small donations, is that significant?
Well, I wouldn't say it's any more significant than the other middle people who were making money previously. When you have big dollar fundraisers, let's say, maybe somebody's giving $1,000, but you're going to hold it at the Ritz-Carlton, and you can't necessarily get their meal for less than a couple hundred dollars and valet parking and so forth. If you think about it that way, you might have been taking in more dollars, but percentage-wise, it really isn't what what you might be thinking of. And the same way before, before we had the internet, we had direct mail. So we would send out, we meaning candidates and parties, millions and millions of letters and only maybe get a few hundred back. So that was postage. That the U.S. Postal Service, by the way, makes a lot of money off of campaigns. So there are a lot of vendors in between. And, of course, the other middle person that benefits from campaign outputs when they spend the money are TV and radio stations, especially television.
We're talking with Robin Kolodny. She's a political scientist from Temple University. We're looking at the nature of grassroots campaigns and small dollar donations. Robin, the Democratic National Committee also changed its requirements for candidates to participate in debates. Candidates now need a minimum number of unique donors to be able to get on the debate stage. Do you think using that metric, that threshold, makes sense?
Well, they're actually copying something that's in the original law from the 70s when presidential candidates used to rely more on public matching funds. And that was the same thing, is what they were trying to do is make sure that the candidates who were going to get the public funding actually had a large base that was not geographically unique. So in other words, and this is the same thing that Democrats are trying to do, it wouldn't be so hard to make the dollar amount if you were from a state or a locality where you were a celebrity of some sort. And what they're trying to do is make sure that that's not really the case. It isn't just some kind of favorite son or daughter that's taking up a space on the debate stage when a more viable candidate who had broader support should be doing that. So they're just trying to make sense out of really what is a new territory for them, because they're, you know, in 2016, this is the new thing, is that both parties are getting far more serious contenders than they ever envisioned previously.
So despite how the presidential candidates do go after each other on large donors, does our political system still favor large donors and these so-called bundlers who fundraise basically off the payroll of the campaigns?
Well, of course it does, but I'm one of these people who wouldn't focus so much on the money as much as I would ask people to think about what makes our whole political and economic system run. So it's about 80% of Americans work for the private sector. And when you think about it that way, it shouldn't be a surprise that then large employers, meaning large businesses, are the ones that have more sway one way or another with lawmakers. Sometimes that helps that you have campaign donations because you might have a little bit easier access. But in any city, the largest private employer is able to get meetings whether they give money or not. So the bias is already there. And sometimes I think that the campaign donations just draw our attention to it, and maybe in a different way than it should.
So is there an image when you see these 2020 candidates encouraging people to donate in small amounts? Does that help their image in any way?
Well, of course it does. But again, it's sincere, especially on the Democratic side. So for decades, the Democrats trailed Republicans in fundraising. And this really didn't reverse until it's just about 20 years ago that it began to be at parity. And now that the Democrats, in most cases, will outraise the Republicans. And the reason why is just because they have more donors. It doesn't matter the amount, that you have more people that are willing to give, that will eventually add up. And so previously, the Democrats' advantage always was in having foot soldiers. Previously, it might have been labor unions when they had more membership, let's say in the 70s. The people weren't giving cash so much as they were time. And again, I go back to my original point, both are valuable.
So does a large number of small donors actually tell us anything about a campaign or how it's run?
It tells me that the campaign is spreading its message as widely as possible, that it's trying very hard to get people who maybe aren't as consistent at voting or maybe new voters. And that's what is very time-consuming. Because we spend so much time thinking about things like campaign ads on television, we lose sight of what is really effective, which is that door-to-door contact, having events, having people talk about the campaign. A lot of Americans need that kind of prompting to get engaged.
Robin, as you look at the landscape of campaign finance, what are you keeping an eye on?
Oh, that's very interesting. I guess I am keeping an eye on what we're talking about now is about how you can expand the number of people that participate. And I am firmly of the belief we should spend less time worrying about things like super PACs. I always like to point out that if a super PAC has to spend many millions of dollars to get your attention, is that because they're in a strong position or in a weak position? I can tell you there's many other companies in the United States who have a lot of access and policy and don't actually give any money to campaigns at all. That makes you a bit more powerful if you don't have to do that. So that's the thing that I think that we should pay attention to, how people are responding to those appeals, the ordinary people, and not so much just to the elites.
Robin, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Robin Kolodny is a professor and chair of the political science department at Temple University, where she studies campaign finance. Coming up, we look at the state of retail in 2020. Check on the retail industry, how it's doing, right after this news update here on the Ideas Network.